Pray, shall we? Father, thank you that we have the chance to be here tonight. We thank you for the testimonies of your faithfulness, your grace, your goodness, the way you have shown yourself strong, able, the way you have shown yourself willing to give strength to those who are weak and faint-hearted. And you are there to supply what we need when we need it, Lord. How thankful we are. Speak to our hearts this evening, Lord, and the time that we have. Help us to honor you with some words from Paul's own personal testimony. Perhaps we might think of this as him revealing to us part of a spiritual secret that was important to him and something that he practiced, and may we be challenged by it. In your name we pray. Amen. Joel, if you like titles like you do for your little CDs back there, it's Why He Lived. Why He Lived. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to be using the New King James this evening. You know, normally here in on our Sunday messages, I'm in the Old King James, but I want to use this just simply because of the wording in a verse or two of Philippians chapter 3. Paul, in Philippians 3:12, was really just relating in this third chapter some of his practice as a believer, some of the things that he was sharing with his readers, how he, what was priority, what was important to him. And as I said, perhaps Paul could say to us, let me just share a spiritual secret with you. Let me show you what I live for. Let me show you what keeps me going. Verse 12 of Philippians 3 says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. That phrase that Paul said, I don't consider myself to have arrived in my walk with the Lord. I don't consider myself such that there's no need for any more growth, but I press on. And here Paul says, here's what I am living for. I am pressing on that I may lay hold of that very thing for which Christ laid hold of me. What Paul is saying is, I know my Lord has a wonderful plan for my life. I know he saved me for a purpose. We know in the book of Acts chapter 9, he was on the road to Damascus to discover, imprison, and bring back to Jerusalem. Don't I have it on? Oh, sorry, I thought you were giving me the signal that something was wrong with my microphone. Paul was stopped in his tracks. And later on, after he had gone on into Damascus, Paul sent a man by the name of Ananias to go and greet Paul and baptize him ultimately and so on, welcome him into the family of believers. And you know, Ananias objected. He said, but Lord, I've heard a lot of things about this man, and really the reason he's here is because he was coming to take Christians back to Jerusalem and put them on trial, put them to death if he could. And the Lord responded to Ananias. in a very interesting way. The Lord said unto him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." Isn't that something that the Lord told Ananias about this most feared man of the day, Saul of Tarsus? "He is a chosen vessel of mine, and I'm going to send him to the Gentiles. I'm going to let him appear before kings. I'm going to send him to the children of Israel. I have a very definite purpose for him." Paul never got over that. And in his testimony here in Philippians 3, he said, "The thing that I live for is I keep pressing on that I might get a hold of everything that Christ saved me for. I want to make sure I don't miss anything." Now, how does that come about? I'd like to just suggest some things here. First of all, as we look at Paul's testimony in this third chapter, go back to verses 7 through 11, and we see, first of all, Paul tells us there had to be a rearrangement of his values. He had to rearrange some things. What's important to you? What do you get up for in the morning? What do you think about? What are you striving for? Notice in verse 7, Paul points out, "But those things that were gain to me." There was a time, Paul said, as he had related his own personal testimony in the previous verses, he was a Jew of the Jews. He was as strict as they could be as far as his own observance of it. He, notice he said in verse 4, "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day," that's when the Jewish babies were circumcised, "of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin." And that was an important tribe, wasn't it? "A Hebrew of the Hebrews." He said, "I'm 100% Hebrew blood courses through my veins. Concerning the," what about the law of Moses, God's word? "Concerning zeal," the law, he said, "I was a Pharisee, the strictest observer of the law. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is according to the law." If ever a person could have gained righteousness by keeping the law, Paul said, it would have been me. He was that devoted, that dedicated to God's word and the Old Testament scriptures. For years, that had been kind of a calling card for Paul, Saul, yet. And he said, I used to boast about that. That I used that as leverage in arguments and conversations that I had. But what's our first point here? In order for Paul to come to the place where he said, I want to tell you what I live for. I am trying to make sure I am pressing on to get a hold of everything Christ saved me for. And he said, in order to do that, I had to rearrange some of my values. I had to come up with some new priorities. And he says here, "What things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things." Paul said, I had to give it all up. I had to turn my back on those things. But Paul said, that's okay, that's good. Christ became everything to him. He says in verse 8, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. If you'll excuse me, I just need to try to relieve that sciatic just a minute, so I'm not going to sleep behind here. I'm not passing out, but I'll just let you know that there's some things on the shelf back here. Yep. Several dry erase markers and so on. Maybe that'll help. We'll see. I'm sorry. I struggled with that until I couldn't stand here anymore. So let's make hay while the sun shines before it comes back again, okay? So Paul was talking about how that Christ had become everything and what he was striving for. Notice in verse 8, he said, all of these things, doesn't matter what it is, my reputation, the friends I used to have, the circles I used to be involved in, the influence I had in my community, the respect I had when I would enter into a temple, Paul said, all of that, it's nothing. That doesn't mean any. Verse 8, I count all of that but loss just for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Just that I might know more about him. It would seem that with his background, if just studying the scrolls was sufficient to give one the knowledge of the Lord, why, Paul should have been at the top of the class, shouldn't he? But you know, the natural man, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. Paul had all kinds of head knowledge, but he didn't know about the Lord until he got saved. And he got a taste of knowing the Lord. And Paul said, I'm willing to give up everything that I can just know more about him. In verse 10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That I may know him. You say, well, you know, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. I know him. Do you? While our Lord was here on earth ministering among his disciples, what an apt illustration of the fact that people can spend time with the Lord. People can travel about and be involved with him and really not know him. I'm referring to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Remember in the upper room, the Lord was telling his disciples, you know, I'm going to my Father, I'm preparing a place for you. And Philip said, well, Lord, show us the Father and it'll be sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? If you'd ask Philip, do you know Jesus of Nazareth? Of course I know him. He knew him in his head. But he didn't know that spiritual, did not have that spiritual knowledge of the Lord. He didn't know whose presence he was in. And the Lord said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Philip, don't you get it? Don't you get who I am? And Paul said, that's what I long for. I want to know him in a genuine way so that I don't miss that which he has for me. Notice he mentioned, besides the fact that he got this goal of why he was living, it was to get a hold of everything Christ had saved him for. And we're having to pass over some things simply because of the way our time is flying this evening. We've looked at Paul saying, this came about because I had to rearrange certain things. I had to take a look what is important to me, and I realized that what once had been important to me, it was nothing in comparison to what I have now in the Lord. Number two, we see he spoke of the goal of his life, and that's verse 12, our text verse that we looked at. To lay hold of everything that Christ had laid hold of him for. And we notice his commitment. He says, I press on. I press on, I follow, or I press on. This speaks of his determination. This speaks of the fact that Paul said, this is more than just words to me. This is what motivates me when I get up in the morning. I am concerned, I am interested in knowing and understanding what God's will is for my life. I don't want to miss anything. So we see his determination, his dedication, his devotion, his diligence. But what if when he had talked about some of those things that he was even wanting to know, for instance, in verse 10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul, that doesn't sound very pleasant. That sounds kind of painful. Are you really sure, you know, as you are dedicating yourself to the Lord and you're turning your back, rearranging your value system, don't you ever have second thoughts? Don't you ever ask yourself, am I really sure I'm doing the right thing following the Lord? Paul says, no. I press on. I want to discover everything God has for me. Thus, we come to number three. The method that he adopted in verses 13 and 14. The method that he adopted. Notice what he says in verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I don't ever let myself be satisfied telling myself that, take it easy, Paul. You can relax. You've arrived. You've reached the point. You're as spiritual as you ought to be for the Lord. You have enough knowledge of the Lord. After all, you saw him with your own eyes. You had a 3-year special education from the Lord out there in the deserts of Arabia. Paul, you've got it. Take it easy. Relax. Paul said, well, the method he adopted, he was never satisfied. I don't consider myself as already attained, verse 12. I don't consider that I am already perfected, that I am in the place God wants me to be. I do not count myself to have apprehended. But then notice his singular plan, his singular method. this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And notice in we see that very truth in his writings so many times, how that Paul talks about how carefully he lived his life to make sure that nothing would ever interfere or conflict or cancel him out of being useful for the Lord. I had several references, but I give you one. 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Therefore I run. This is how I run, Paul says, not with uncertainty. And this is how I fight, not as one who just beats the air wildly. But Paul said, I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul was so careful. He was so focused in his goal. Not that I've already attained or that I'm already perfected. But Paul said, this is what I live for, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I close with this question. What do you live for? What do you live for? What occupies your time? What kind of priorities have you made? Do you follow? Do you practice? Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the time we could be here this evening, and we thank you for your word. Thank you for Paul's testimony. What a faithful man. And thank you for leading him to write down choices. This all involves choices that Paul had made concerning matters of importance. What kind of choice is he going to make over these? What's he going to keep as a matter of importance to him? Is he willing to set aside things? Is he willing to put the things of you in first place? Oh Lord, speak to our hearts with this. Pray, Lord, that we might examine our hearts, search our hearts, and be the very ones you would have us to be. And may we truly be able to say that the thing we live for is that we want to attain, we want to get a hold of everything that you got a hold of our lives for. And we ask this for your glory and honor in your name. Amen. And you may be dismissed. Again, a reminder, if anybody's interested in that,